to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb in the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. I want you to notice verse number 7. This will be our text verse this morning. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Let's go ahead and go into the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, I desperately need your help this morning. Lord, I know what you've been dealing with me personally about. Lord, I feel like I'm going to struggle trying to get it from my mind to my mouth. Lord, I really need your help to present your word clearly. Lord, really, it doesn't matter how much time's been spent. All that really matters, Father, is that you touch it. Lord, I could have studied for 40 hours, but if you don't touch it, it doesn't matter one bit. Lord, I really need your help. Lord, I pray that you would take your word and work it in hearts as only you can. And I thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me read verse 7 once more, and then I'm going to jump to verse number 20, and we'll try to pick up from there. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now look with me in verse number 20. "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates of in the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." Notice verse 29. "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." That phrase, "the fear of the Lord," really, I couldn't get it out of my mind, and I just started trying to do some digging, and I may jump around just a little bit. It's not necessarily my normal way of going about things. But what is the fear of the Lord? Let me just try to quickly define it for you. And the Scripture is going to tell us several different things about it. I'm not wanting to necessarily turn to there for the purpose of what I feel God's put in my heart. I think one of the best definitions, I guess, I've read in all the study I was doing, it's an affectionate reverence for God and His law. It's not, when we're talking about fear of the Lord, we're not necessarily talking about being scared of God. Now, if you're a sinner, you ought to be scared of God. You ought to be scared of the judgment of God. But if you're saved, you don't need to be fearing in that sense. But we could tie it kind of in a right scenario. I know it doesn't always hold true, but a child to the parent. Dad says something. For me as a kid, I feared my dad. I wasn't scared of him. But if he said something, I'm telling you, I was going to do it. I knew what would happen if I didn't. But I respected him. To this day, I still respect him. I still want to honor him. Now, he doesn't get to run my home, but I honor my dad. I love my dad. I'm thankful for the family God gave me. And so I want you to think of this fear of the Lord in that sense, if you will. It's a loving reverence of God. Now, here's the thing. In our lives, especially as Christians, love should be what motivates us to do what we do, not fear. I shouldn't do what I do because I'm scared of the consequences. I ought to do what I do for God because I love Him.
And if I'm doing it out of fear, not out of love, I'm totally living from the wrong motive. That being said, there should be a fear of disobedience in every Christian's life. There should be a fear of disobedience in the sinner's life. And what seems sad to me, it seems today you can't find either of them. I'm not preaching to any individual other than myself, and I don't want you thinking of anybody else except yourself today. And the Lord's been dealing in my heart a bit, because it's so easy as you go through life and you're doing this and you're doing that, if you're not careful, your fear of the Lord, or maybe, let me just say it this way, your motive begins to change a little bit. And all of a sudden, maybe you're doing what you do for some of the wrong reasons. You know, for those of us in this church especially, it's really easy. Man, it's really easy for us maybe doing something in the music, and whether you're in a singing group or whatever, to do it because pastor wanted that. That's a really easy thing to do. And then I'm not saying that's wrong, but I ought to have a higher reason than pastor. It ought to be out of love for God. But as I began to try to study some of this, I began to realize, and I'll show you this in a moment, this fear of God is very intricately tied to the Word of God. You can't really separate them. I'll tell you what I mean here more in a moment. But simply, this reverence of God, this fear of God, it ought to be a reverence for Him or a respect for Him, His laws, His wants, if you will. It ought to be just a desire to please Him. A desire that I do not wish to disappoint my Lord and my Savior. And that is, I think, kind of what we're getting at when we start reading this term, fear of the Lord. I don't see that a lot in a lot of Christians today. And I'm probably getting ahead of myself. But where there is no respect for the Word of God, there is no respect for the God that wrote the Word. And so you can tell me all day, as much as you want, you can tell me that I fear God, but if I can look and I see where your life doesn't line up to the Word of God on something that is clear, I can pretty much call you out as a liar. And I'm not doing that. I don't have I'm not shooting at anybody here. My point is, if you're not following the Word of God, don't tell me that you fear God. It's not that you can't separate them. And there's a lot of people today that want to claim as if they love God and they fear God, and they don't live to the Word of God. Most churches today, or so-called churches, that's the kind of Christianity that they live. And if that's all that Christianity is, I want nothing to do with it. But that's not how Christian life is supposed to be. I'll read a couple verses to you just to kind of maybe hopefully get you thinking on my same wavelength here. I already said it. The fear of the Lord, I believe, is intricately tied to the Word of God. In other words, you cannot separate the two. If I fear God, I will fear His Word. We can read, and don't worry about turning there. I don't think I need to for sake of time. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 9 tells us that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, if we were to read a little more in that context, you'll find out every phrase he says there from the several preceding verses, they're all talking about the Word of God. And so when he uses the fear of God, or the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, he's referring to the Word of God. So there's kind of a tie in there, if you will. Psalms chapter 111, verse number 10, tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Again, we see there's a tie-in. There's a relationship between how I follow the Word of God and my fear of God. We could go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 that tells us, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Trying to show you this, they tie together. You can't separate them. Keep a finger in Proverbs, if you will. We'll be coming back there. But I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 29. I want you to see this. We're not necessarily going fully in the actual context here, but there's a truth that we find in some verses I'm going to read here. Isaiah chapter 29, and I'm going to begin reading. We'll just start in verse number 9.
The Bible says, stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, he hath covered. Notice these next couple verses. The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. Now, when we're referring to vision here, that's it, we're talking about the word of the Lord, okay? Understand that. The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. In other words, kind of what's going on here is they have a word from God. They've got the words, if you will, but they don't know what it means. They're spiritually blind. They cannot understand what is being said. And no matter where they're taking it to, that nobody can give them the meaning of it. Notice what follows this. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me, far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. These are people that are going through the motions of religion, but because they don't have the proper fear of God, they are blind to the Word of God. And I read all that to say this. If our fear of God is not right, we are not going to understand what God wants us to understand. Without the proper relationship with the Word of God, I'm not going to go anywhere with God. I hope that made sense to you. No fear of God results in spiritual blindness. And we've heard it so many times. When you reject truth, God blinds you. You see that all the time in the Word of God. If you decide, I'm not going any farther, don't expect to go any farther. In fact, you're probably going to start going backwards. And what happens there in that text, they can't even understand the most basic things in God's Word. I've said all that so far just to show you that the fear of God and fear of the Word of God, they're tied together. You can't separate them. But I believe the fear of God comes from the Word of God. How can I fear somebody I don't know anything about? How do I know what's going to please God if I don't know what pleases Him? That's what the Word of God is for. It gives us knowledge. It gives us wisdom. And as we begin to read this wisdom, and some of these words here, you could almost interchange them out as far as application goes. Wisdom obviously comes from the Word of God. It is application of what we learn in the Word of God. And so there's a call throughout here to apply what we've learned, to apply this knowledge to our lives, which we would call that wisdom. And there's a call to apply ourselves to studying it, to seeking after it. The more we know of God, the more we ought to want and serve Him. Ought to want to serve Him. But today it seems I see a lot of people, they carry a Bible. And I can be at the same place sometimes. We carry a Bible, we're very familiar with what it says. But yet for some reason there's a lack of fear or a lack of respect for what it says. And it can be seen by the lack of obedience to it. It's just like where we read in Isaiah. Their mouth, they say all these things that say, oh, we're close, oh, we're right with God, oh, we love God. But then the Bible goes on to say that their heart is far from me. You can have a Bible in your hand, you can read it every day, and your heart can be 50 million miles away from Him. I know because I've done it a lot sometimes. You see, reverence will always lead to obedience. If you truly have a respect for the Word of God, then you're going to be concerned with the specifics of what it says, and you're going to be concerned with applying it to your life. This is the truth. This is not optional. This is not something that I'm just using in an advisory book, and then I get to take what I want and then throw away what I don't. It don't work that way. This is truth. And either I line up my life to it, or I reject it. But understand, when I reject it, I am choosing to walk away from the fear of the Lord. I don't care what the principle is. I can accept some, I can reject something else. But when I come to a point in my life where I say, I'm not going to follow everything in here, even though I know it says it, I'm choosing not to walk in the fear of the Lord. What we find there in Isaiah is that you can be very religious, you could even be moral, and yet you can not fear God. And what I seem to see today, and I find it unfortunately in my life at times, is that we can develop this nonchalant, I don't care attitude when it comes to living out the Word of God. If that's your attitude to the Word of God today, then this is a warning. It's real easy to live up to other people's standards. It's real easy to be going through motions. But if you truly have the fear of God in your heart, it changes everything. A lot of people today, a lot of churches, they're running through the motions, but there's no heart behind what they're doing. We dress like we dress because if we don't, the preacher will get on us. We listen to what we listen to, at least while people are around, because we don't want them to know what we actually listen to. We watch what we watch at home, but we keep it all quiet and hushed because we don't want the pastor to find out. Do we forget somewhere along the line that God is with us every step of the way? He is there. He sees it all. And if you have a fear of God, you shouldn't be worried about having a fear of the pastor, because God should be way above that. What I find is a lot of people are concerned about what the pastor thinks. Or for us kids, those still in the house, you're concerned about what your parents think. But you know, if you could just get it in your heart that I just care about what God thinks, it would change everything. See, I think what's happened is we've convinced ourselves, oh, we know we've got the King James Bible. That's the Word of God. And we tell ourselves that we love it and that we're trying to live by it because we've maybe accepted 90 to 95% of it. But what about the other 5% that you know in your heart God's dealt with you and you've not applied it yet? That's the things God's been dealing with me about. It's not that I don't try to follow. It's that sometimes we get so distracted, we're not really that concerned. We're just too busy living our own lives, too busy trying to take care of our own things. And then all of a sudden, maybe something happens and God will just direct my attention back and start knocking on my heart's door saying, where are you at? Is your heart in what you do? Are you doing it for the right reasons? We ought to do what we do because we fear God. I kind of got this truth from, I believe it was Wiersbe, as I was reading him. I probably would have never saw this. At the beginning of chapter 1, you've got Solomon speaking to his son. You've got, if you will, the father talking to the son, and he's trying to encourage the son to go in the way of God, in the way of truth, in the fear of God, if you will. That's exactly what he says there. He's challenging his son to go with the fear of God. But then you get to chapter 10, and again it's still him talking, but we see there's another voice out there. It's the voice of a sinner. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. We read a little farther and we find that there is simple ones, there's scorners, and there's fools. And what are they doing? They're scorning, they're mocking the truth. There's a lot going on today in our lives, especially the younger generation, that competes with the Word of God in your life to be heard. See, wisdom shows up on the scene and it's saying, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She says in 24, because I have called and ye refused. In other words, the Word of God, or God, wants your attention. He wants your ear, because we know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to have an ear open to the Word of God. You've got to have a
communication line, if you will, with the Word of God. But today, there are so many things trying to steal that away, trying to crowd in so that you don't have time for the Word of God and time to spend with God. And that's where your whole entertainment industry falls in. And I'm just like everybody else, I like to watch things every once in a while. The problem I have found is that I start getting too far in these things, and all of a sudden, I'm not spending time with God like I should. But you've got a voice of temptation out there. You've got the voice of the world. You've got people's opinions out there about how you should be living your life, when the whole time the Bible has every answer we need. It's telling you, hey, live your life this way, but we want to listen to what somebody else has to say. We want to go with our own opinion. There's too many things trying to crowd in. And we as Christians, if you're going to be wise, you need to learn to turn off everything else and tune in to the Word of God. There are things fighting for our attention. Because of the noise of the world today, I'm afraid a lot of people are not taking the time to listen to the Word of God anymore. I'm not going to say that it's intentional. It's subtle, though. We allow things to come in and crowd our relationship with God. And so now we have all these opinions from all these other sources and all this worldly advice, and we just don't take time to consult the Word of God any longer. There's a warfare going on to drown out the truth today. And if you're going to stay right with God, then you have to be very intentional about getting away from all those things and spending time with God. We find in verse 29 that fear of God is a choice. It says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I guess my biggest point from this whole message, or the main thing that's been on my heart, is I'd like to challenge every single one of you young people to choose the Word of God. Choose to line up. We all need to do this. We all need to choose to line up our lives by the Word of God. It's not the reading that's going to bless you. It's the heeding of it. You can read it all you want. There's unsaved people that read it every day. The difference is whether or not you decide to put it in shoe leather. The difference is whether or not I say I'm going to actually line my life up to that. How do we get the fear of God back in our lives when we know we aren't where we should be? Because what I'm afraid has happened is, because of all this other input and all these other things trying to gain our attention and gain our ear, I'm afraid what's happened is we, as God's people as a whole, we've lost our love for the Word of God. We can read it because we know we have to, but I don't love it anymore. I spend some time in it, or I study in it because I have some obligation to fulfill or some class to teach, but I just don't love it anymore. I may only be speaking to myself today, but I find myself sometimes in that place. I'm going through the motions, but my heart is just not where it should be with the Word of God. And the truth is, if I loved it, I'd want to spend time in it. And the reason I don't want to spend time in it is probably because I don't love it. I don't fear God like I should. Man, we've got to get back in love with God's Word. And to do that, we're going to have to cut off some other things that are striving for our attention. And just say, you know what? Turn off the flesh for a little bit. Say, no, I can't. I need to spend time in God's Word. Now, here's the thing. I can't just change my heart overnight. I need God's help to do that. But man, there's one sure way to slowly start getting your mindset back on this. Spend more and more and more time in the Word of God, and God begins to shift your heart because this Word of God begins to work in you. We as God's people, if we want to be successful and victorious, then God's Word is going to have to become, once again, the most important thing in our lives. So many people, right after they get saved, you know what's so important to them? The Word of God. But somewhere along the lines, they get distracted. It's not as important anymore. And so you'll see a young Christian, and they're seeming to just grow by leaps and bounds. And man, I mean, just if they kept it that way, they'd outpace all of us in probably a year or less, it would seem, if they just keep on going. And all of a sudden, you just don't seem to be growing anymore. And I know there's growth periods. But sometimes it's just because we've kind of quit loving the Word of God. All of a sudden we realize, wait a minute, that's not going to be so easy to apply this time. There's several things you'll kind of hear as you go through Proverbs. But there's three words, really, that I just kind of wrote. And I don't know every word's exactly in there, but listen to the Word of God, heed the Word of God, and study the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 2 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee," there's your Word of God, "so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Do you find yourself in a place where maybe your heart's not where it ought to be? And start digging in the Word of God. Start looking. Start finding those places or going back to those places where you know God's dealt with your heart and you've just been rebellious and wouldn't deal with them. I'll say this publicly, and I challenge anyone else here that wants to do it, but would you choose to commit with me? Commit right back to obedience to the Word of God. Those things you know God's been tugging at your heart to do, would you choose to commit today? I'm going to finally surrender to that. Lord, I'm finally going to yield to you. I'm going to obey. Would you choose to refocus on what matters? And it's easy. In the life that we live in, there's so many other things trying to drown us out. It's easy for me. I get my focus on things at work and wanting to progress at work and this and that and everything else. But I think if we're going to go on as a church and as individuals especially, we need to get our focus back on the Word of God and start living this out again. Because this is where the power is at. God's Word needs to become priority again. Do you fear God? Brady. Okay. Could we have a piano player come up, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to speak with God, altar's open.